there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. I'm John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com, and I write for all of the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including Vegas Magazine, where you see a lot of my stories. And we're in Greenspun Hall. What else can I tell you? Dish, take it away.
Well, my name is Tricia McCrone, otherwise known as Dish, and I watch a lot of television. I listen to music. I'm a Taurus.
She's a Taurus.
Yes, I'm a Taurus. I'm very loyal. Blue eyes, blonde hair from a bottle. And I think that encompasses most of what my accomplishments are at this moment.
She's a Taurus, but she drives a Lexus.
I am a Taurus.
So what can we tell you? We had a nice birthday celebration for the Disherito.
Yes, it was. It was fun. We had a great time for
at a Mexican restaurant,
and it was a really good time. And very, very funny that I finally just saw the email that you sent me with the video of
That full video.
Yes, and our waiter was very, very handsy and aggressive. He was a little more contextual.
Yeah.
I guess I'll say.
He was making contact. He was doing a little direct marketing with the tequila there.
And he was lap dancing me. I mean, he was grinding.
Yeah, and I guess that's the deal. If you are if you have a name tag and you have a bottle of tequila and it's your birthday, it's all bets are off, right?
I know.
That kind of conduct would get you arrested in a lot of other places.
There was mariachi music. It was all happening so fast. It's a bit of a blur.
Yep, there were some maracas going on there.
And that's just your dress. I was about to say. considering it was a very flimsy little dress I was wearing.
Shake it. So we had a nice time.
There was nothing holding anything together. And Alicia Jacobs' dog Sparkle wore a sombrero and a poncho.
Yeah, the dog wore a sombrero and a poncho.
The dog dressed itself. I think that pretty much.
That's why Alicia was an hour late to your birthday.
Yes, exactly.
Because the dog is in the dressing room putting a sombrero on.
Oh, my God. And I had the tiniest sombrero in history on my head. It comes off of a Saturday Night Live skit that I'm going to
claim. A sombrero, a poncho, and what else did that dog have? I think he had a six shooter.
Exactly. He was twirling it around. He had a Cohiba.
In his mouth. Yeah. It was a fun time.
It was a really good time. It was a cool thing. To just be around.
Yeah.
And it was very small. Usually I throw big bashes, like huge. And it was just a small little dinner with people that I love. And it was a beautiful night. And so I'm very grateful
to it was really cool. I've got the full video of that. Yeah, that was just a part of the video. I couldn't email the whole thing.
Unfortunately, I didn't get more than just a part of that waiter. Yeah, he gave me pretty much all he had.
But he's in the full version, too.
Well, there you go.
It's hard to edit him out.
Yeah, it was fun. And then also we went to the Pinup.
We saw Pinup. The opening of Pinup, which is a show at the Stratosphere, starring our two-time guest.
And actually,
Claire Sinclair.
Go to our website at Cats with the Dish, or you can get to it from the Las Vegas Sun Cats Report, any of those. But if you just put in Cats with the Dish, you can listen to that interview. And it's very good. It really does explain something that it was very helpful upon seeing the show, having interviewed her to see her views on things. So it's kind of a good combination. So not to plug us, but what the heck, it's our show. Plug us.
Yeah. Well, it's helpful because she had talked about one of the issues in the show about being topless or taking it down to.
And she said, people have seen my goods.
Yeah. People have seen my goods. And she doesn't do it in the show. As I wrote in the review of the show, I think she's going to do it in the show.
Yes. So that's a good thing. You should read your article and our.
Yeah.
And listen to our interview. Yes, and you will be so prepared for Pinup. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you'll have more information than you'll need about Pinup at the Stratosphere. So we did that, and that was a nice night. And we have to get to our guest, who's one of our favorites.
One of the greatest guys in town.
A good friend of ours who is headlining currently with his family at the D Resort that used to be Fitzgerald's, folks, on Fremont Street. Frankie Shinta of the Shintas will be joining us momentarily. But first, Josh Bell with Films. Stick around, please. I know we will.
Viva, viva Las Vegas.
This is Maren Wade with iCandy the Show, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Yeah! Here's a little holiday greeting I've been wanting to send to the Mandarin. I just didn't know how to phrase it until now. My name is Tony Stark, and I'm not afraid of you. I know you're a coward, so I've decided that you just died, pal. I'm gonna come get the body. There's no politics here, it's just good old-fashioned revenge. There's no Pentagon, it's just you and me.
That's Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man, in the new superhero sequel Iron Man 3. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Attacked by the ruthless terrorist known as the Mandarin, played by Ben Kingsley, Tony must pull himself back from the brink of self-destruction to save the world, of course. That involves plenty of the massive action set pieces for which Marvel's superhero movies are known, and the climax in particular is loud, busy, and chaotic, a barrage of explosions that is eventually just exhausting. But before that, director and co-writer Shane Black infuses the movie with some top-notch banter and quirky side characters, including the return of Don Cheadle as Tony's buddy and fellow superhero James Rhodes.
So last time you got a good night's sleep.
Einstein slept 3 hours a year. Look what he did.
People are concerned about you, Tony. I'm concerned about you.
You're gonna come at me like
no,
that?
No, look, I'm not trying to be a dick.
Tater.
A mid-film twist involving the Mandarin undermines some of the menace built up in the movie's first half, but evil scientist Aldrich Killian, played by Guy Pearce, makes for a suitable co-villain, and the movie has a more cohesive story than the inconsistent Iron Man 2. Black has to hit all the required superhero beats, but he does it with as much personality as he possibly can. I give Iron Man 3 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the frontman for one of the city's most popular acts. They are the Shintas, with his brother Joe, sister Chrissy, and drummer Peter O'Donnell. The Shintas opened at the Las Vegas Hilton in the year 2000, moved to the Rio the next year, and have also played the Sahara and Suncoast Showroom during their time in Las Vegas. Now the Shintas are on Fremont Street at the D Hotel Casino, that's what used to be Fitzgerald's. And they have a different female member of the act. We need to talk about all this. And who better to lead the discussion than the one and only Frankie Shinta?
Hello, guys.
How you doing, my brother?
How are you doing?
I'm winded. How about you?
That was a long intro.
That was a long intro.
I felt like maybe I should just get some popcorn, get a little soda, listen to the whole thing.
It was a long one. I didn't even know how he got all that out.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It all began
years ago in
Buffalo, New York.
He writes for a living, I guess. Yeah.
Got carried away.
There you go.
So let's start with the obvious. How is Chrissy doing?
Chrissy's doing well.
What is her status?
She's getting better. It's going to be a long time before she can sing again.
Now, what happened? What was the whole? When did this happen?
Chrissy was having vocal cord problems for the longest time. I mean, when we were back at the Rio, and we thought it was a sore throat. We thought maybe we got to lower the key of a song, and what they were doing, what Steven Tyler had, her vocal cords were hemorrhaging, but there was no visible signs of it. Mm-hmm. So it must have been happening for years. By the time we got her to the Cleveland Clinic and they realized what was going on, a lot of damage had been done. And they did surgery to correct the...
Which, gosh, it's got to be so scary for
her. Oh, my God. I mean, it's all she's done her whole life. And now it's a matter of the larynx being able to support the vocal cords, which is a huge problem. So, it will come back. When? No idea. Could be a year, could be 6 months, could be 2 years. We don't know.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. And either way, you know, with our faith, we'll be okay.
And that has to be so, I mean, just on so many levels, it has to be so frustrating for her because this is her life. I mean, this is the career that she's done her whole life. And two, it's a family operation. It's a family show. It's not that it is just, the singers just can just easily
replace. Yeah, just bring somebody in.
Because, I mean, it is the Shintas. It's kind of like I always would joke that, you know, Pete's the Irish Shinta, you know, because he's been around for so long with you guys.
Yeah,
he's
26
so much part of the family
years.
That, you know, it's and Chrissy's such a positive light. And, you know, we send our prayers, our thoughts and everything to
thank
her because
you so
she's
much.
Amazing.
When we were looking for somebody, it's so hard to find somebody that's going to fit in. That's because we are a family. When I thought of Janine Valentine, I said, oh, my God, you know what? She's from our hometown. And she's Sicilian.
I didn't know that.
She's from Buffalo.
I had no idea.
She's a Nola. Her maiden name is Nola. And I knew her whole family. My brother Tony dated a Nola girl when he was younger. And I always knew about her. And then when I moved to Vegas and saw her on stage with Clint, I was like, oh, I know her. And it never crossed my mind, really. It was like a last minute, Janine. That's it. Janine Valentine. Well, let me tell you, there's a certain thing, a certain way people in Buffalo are brought up. You know, you learn how to break oranges. You say break balls. Yeah. But I don't know if you can say that.
But, I think you can.
I don't know if you can say break balls.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. It's a Buffalo thing. Balls. You know, yeah. And boy, oh boy, did I learn fast that she is from my hometown and she's Sicilian, because I gave her a little thing on stage and she gave it right back.
And good for her.
And she's that quick because she's an actress as well.
Yes.
And a comedian. So it's really, she brought a whole different dimension to the show. And her voice is amazing. She's beautiful. You know, so, you know, it's kind of Chrissy-esque. Except Chrissy didn't like to do comedy, you know. Chrissy, you want to let's do this little, no, you guys be funny. I'll just sing.
Yeah, she was kind of like, oh, my, she kind of had that, like, straight man role, like, oh, my brothers. It was
that's
fun.
That's exactly
though, yeah.
Right. So does Joe, but he tries to be funny.
Joe is funny.
He is. He's way funnier than me. And when he's not trying to be is when he's the funniest.
I do have to say, I mean, it is back. I mean, I go back with your family for forever. I'm back to the Put in Bay days, for gosh sakes. You know, like, it's like so long ago that you guys really are like family members to
you guys
us,
are too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I met you guys so many years ago at Tangier.
Yep.
In Akron, Ohio.
Yep.
And you know, when I heard you know who we are, right? And you know, and then when your sister married Wayne, I was like, oh, maybe he'll come see us, which he never did. But when we signed at the Hilton, he invited us to his show, and he was the first guy. Remember, he said, you heard it from me first when he was at the Stardust.
Yeah.
I want you people to know this name's going to be here a long time. Shows come and go. And it was a nice compliment, but I thought, yeah, we'll be here 6 months. They'll toss our buns on him.
No. And I mean, we had even Thanksgiving
we
together.
Did.
He taught me how to play the spoons many a Thanksgiving ago.
You really play
ago.
The spoons, don't you?
I
yes,
really
he
do.
Did. And he taught
I've
me
heard
how.
About
and
this.
Lance Burton, you taught Lance Burton and I how. And I was, I think I might have been a little better than Lance, believe it or not, but I still don't have the skill down. I mean, you play the spoons like nobody I've ever met in my entire life.
When I was a little boy, I used to go see this Al Jolson impersonator. And the guy was like, he was amazing. He sounded exactly like him. And then he pulled out the spoons. I was like 9 years old. And I go, oh, could you show me how to do that? And that was it, man. Any instrument, I was very lucky as a child, very blessed, because I never really took a lesson. Everything I learned was by ear, but I just lived for music at a young age. And my grandpa, Kunta Shinta, our grandfather, he had 27 grandchildren. I'm so sorry. I know. I know.
It.
You know, half them are laughing, the other half are going, oh.
What is that? Maybe the frame of reference is over.
Yeah, some people maybe didn't know roots.
Well, he's from Sicily, you know. He had 27 grandchildren, left a banjo, a mandolin and a guitar to me and a guitar to my brother Joe. That was it. Those were his instruments. And that's how the whole damn thing started.
Wow.
Just like that.
Are you going to be resigned to the fact that you might have to continue this act with you and Joe as the only members of your family on stage? I mean, how do you resolve that? And how does Janine play into the whole dynamic now?
Well, I introduced her here, kind of that's how I introduce her on stage. I've always known about her. And she's from my hometown. Yes, I am. And whatever happens to Chrissy, you know what? The most important thing to me, Chrissy's hurting right now mentally because, man, to lose your voice, that tool that you've been using since you were five, she's distraught. And, you know, we pray for her every day. And I talk to her almost every day. She's depressed. But you know what? She's got her faith. And she knows. She goes, I'm going to come back. I don't know what it's going to take. We rehearsed her a couple times. And she just cracked. I mean, you can tell it's not. And so the weight is off her shoulders.
Yeah.
Janine has stepped in. Janine will be with us at least a year or maybe more. And when Chrissy's ready, look at if she's ready to come and do a song, man, I told her, Chris, you feel like it one night, get in your car, drive to the D, come into the showroom and say, hi, she's up on stage. One song, bring the house down. She could walk off, sit down and drink with everybody else. No pressure on her. So that's what I want to do first.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I'm sure because so much, especially with anything, is stress. Affects everything, and the pressure of you guys opening a new show, and you know, being
five nights
a Shinta,
a week.
Yeah, and being a Shinta in the Shintas, you know, it's not just like she's an easily replaceable member of anything. So it's and her talent is so extreme. She's so talented that that's wonderful. And you know, and but the best thing for now, I'm sure, is just to rest.
Yes, that's it, and not talk.
How did the deal happen with the D exactly? Because you guys were doing a lot of outside of Las Vegas work.
And yeah.
Occasional dates at Suncoast. How did you come back
to
do full-time?
I'm so glad you asked that because that's important to me. Joe Vicari, who opened up Joe Vicari's Andiamo Italian mm-hmm. Steakhouse in the D.
The one, now, was that the same Andiamo that was in the
Detroit.
Hilton?
But no, no,
oh,
no.
Oh, because there was an
totally
Andiamo in the Hilton.
Okay. Unequivocally different. This guy is right now one of the biggest restaurateurs in the United States.
Wow.
He started with one restaurant in Detroit. He had a banquet facility, 350 seats. His uncle said, Joe, come to Cleveland. We were at Landerhaven. Remember Landerhaven?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I do.
All my Jewish friends are there. And they brought the Sicilians, and it was like, you know, like, who are those? We used to pack the joint. So he brought his uncle was old. He's going, oh, boy, it's going to be accordion music and Lawrence Welk. Well, he loved the show. Brought us to Andiamo in Michigan. Put us in his 350-seat show, banquet hall. Mm-hmm. We went there once, sold out. After that, we would do one night, two nights, three nights. We ended up five nights. We told Joe Vicari, look, it, you got the money, you got the land, build a 1,000-seat showroom. Long story short, he did. Now Regis goes in there,
wow.
Tony Bennett, all the big names, but we made him build this room. So Joe Vicari said, I'm going to get, you know how many Dagos told me I'm going to get you to Vegas? And I could say that because I'm Sicilian.
Absolutely.
You know how many guys, and they all sounded like this, I'm going to get yous. to Vegas. You know how many of them did it? None of them. When Joe Vicari said it, he did it, man. He four-walled the room for us at the Hilton.
Wow.
And he put up all the money. I think it was like mm-hmm. $250,000, $350,000.
You were at Shimmer Cabaret at that
Shimmer
time,
Cabaret.
Right?
Shimmer mm-hmm. Cabaret. Then
huge
the real
success there.
Which, by
yeah.
the way,
huge
I have to
success.
Say, I mean, not to interrupt, but it was, for me, because your show is so intimate and it's so special that was always my favorite room that you did, because it's like you really felt a part of it, and you and Joe and making your, you know,
yep,
a little
we were right
Pete,
there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you the little nuances that you I missed at the
I
Rio
know.
Because
yeah,
it was so big, and the cameras would have to be on all of you because just your little eye rolls and your you know,
yes.
the faces that you made, you missed a lot of that. I you really were part of the family.
I love that you're saying that, because this is all the whole part of the circle. So anyway, long story short, when we worked for Joe Vicari and we did come to Vegas, we still go back there twice a year because his name is Vicari. You got to go back.
Yeah.
Not even a contract.
They keep pulling you back.
That's
then.
It. That's
another
it.
Line.
Yeah. Now you can't leave. Remember that in Bronxdale?
Yeah.
So when Derek Stevens, who bought the D and the Golden Gate, from Detroit, knows Joe Vicari, knows his success. He knew there was nobody else to put a restaurant. Joe Vicari said, I'd like to do that, but you know what? We need to complete this puzzle. Because the Shinta's draw an eclectic audience of 40 to 70 with a roll-off all the way down to teenagers, all the way up to 90-year-olds. We do draw that, and we're blessed for that. I'd like the Shinta's on board. Well, I'll go see him. Derek came to see us in Detroit. Loved the show. There were 1,100 people that night. He was blown away. I'd like to have you there. Well, it started out with a four-wall discussion, and that ended very rapidly. And two-wall ended, and then Derek says, what do you want? And we went back and forth with the price. He hired us. Full contract. They do
wow.
all of the promo, all of, I
the
mean, where does that happen?
Behind us? Huh? Very rarely it happens.
Nobody
know?
Has a real contract in Vegas mm-hmm. anymore. We're very...
It's very rare. Less than five hotels.
Yes, we are beyond blessed to have a five-night-a-week
wow.
gig and get paid to perform, which is a neat concept. You work...
Yeah, but that's the thing.
The hotel
thing,
pays
you know,
your salary.
I have said this a lot, that it's like... Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a really sad thing to say about Las Vegas, because it bothers me, of course. I think it bothers a lot of people. That if I had somebody who wanted to spend millions of dollars on me, I could have the Trisha's Tap Dancing Telling Jokes Hour, which I'm not a good tap dancer and I don't tell jokes well. But if as long as I could pay the rent, I could have a show, and if I could pay for my billboards, I could be all over Las
Vegas.
That
is something.
And to me, that's sad that it's not that it's very rare that hotels are saying, I have a show. We want our customers to go to the show. Then we want them to go to the restaurants and go to the casino. And we are behind our talent.
That's mm-hmm. exactly. It's a marriage between the
yes.
hotel and the entertainment.
And that's what Vegas was built on.
I'll tell you this. It happened to be this morning. I had coffee with Jonathan Jossel, who runs the Plaza,
mm-hmm.
right? And they've got a lot of lease deals in there.
I know primarily that.
You know that? And through the course of the conversation, he said something that was very interesting. The pendulum's starting to swing back. And it's not swinging back because of the financial reasons. It's starting to swing back because the hotel wants more control over what's happening on its property.
Absolutely.
And Plaza's a good example of that for a lot of reasons.
It's a gorgeous property.
It's a beautiful room. Yeah.
The showroom, room, I want that. We
all good.
I talked
mm-hmm.
to them.
Yeah.
We went and talked to them.
About the Shintas?
About the Shintas.
Yeah. And the point that he's making, and I think it applies to especially downtown, is that the hotel operators are now saying, you know what? We got to be more active in what mm-hmm. we have going on yeah. in our property, and to be able to cross market, we might want to start investing in it just to have control over what is going on, what it's said about us, what how the acts are speaking about us and representing us outside the
Absolutely.
Property. All that stuff. What was the idea in the first place? Was that was why they backed acts
That's
in these
why
hotels.
Sinatra yes, was here.
Exactly. You would never forewall the Rat Pack.
No way.
In those days, you'd never lease
and
that.
It's just become such a business. I mean, you look at even the sides of the buildings now, and you can advertise for stores and things like that on the buildings and alcohol or whatever. And instead of promoting what's actually in your hotel,
that's
and
right.
You know, and so downtown really kind of is on the cutting edge of that, and hopefully it will swing back down to the.
I
strip.
Think it is.
Well, if the D's doing this, and others down there are going to be paying attention.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you, Frankie, I wanted to ask you about this show that you did at the M Resort.
Yes.
You guys drew, I don't know what the crowd was, a couple thousand?
Yeah, it was a little over 2,000.
Yeah, and how, tell me about that success. Did that play into the idea that you would be able to sell tickets at the D then?
No, that deal was already in motion.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what. I handle the family business now, all of our family business. And
this was in February.
You know what? I love that. The way that it comes out, it sounds so godfatherish. Does it? When Frankie says it, like, you know
no,
what I mean? Like, I feel
no,
like
no,
I need
no.
to kiss the ring.
I thought we were talking about a stage show.
But, you know, with Frankie with his accent, all of a sudden I was like, okay, I better start being more reverent.
But this is my thought process. Like, a week before, I think it was 10 days before the show, my mind is going, I got to know how many tickets are sold. I know it seats like 1,500, 1,800 at the most. I got to call. So I call the lady there. Her name escapes me. But I said, listen, it's Frankie Shinta. Oh, hi, Mr. Shinta. I go, listen, I'm a little concerned. Could you just tell me about how many seats we sold? She goes, well, Mr. Shinta, I know it's your first time here, so I want to throw up. She goes, we're at 1,800 plus right now, and we're adding chairs.
Wow.
I was like, I could not believe that, because you know how much is going on in Vegas, and who mm-hmm. the hell are we? Really, you know, really, we're just another act in this town. But all I know is that nobody does in that 70 to 90 minutes what we do, because it's not contrived. It's true ad lib. It's true ball breaking. It's true. It's the music.
And talent. I mean,
well,
not to think about that, you guys are musically extremely gifted, yet you have comedy, you have impressions, it literally is a show that's everything. Playing instruments. It's always been one of my favorite shows. And I want to know, now that, you know, obviously the Shintas, I kind of thought when I heard that Chrissy was ill, I thought that you might bring in the next generation a little bit, because I remember Chrissy, I remember sitting in Wayne's house and Chrissy and her daughter singing together. I saw Joe's daughter on The Voice.
Yep, Lisa.
So, you know, the talent just doesn't stop there. It went on to all of your children. So I was wondering, I thought maybe you might.
They really didn't want to. I mean, Lisa couldn't, because she signed a deal with Universal Records.
Oh.
She's one of the top three writers in the country right now. She's writing for big country artists
now.
And she's doing her own stuff. She has over 30 or 40 million hits on YouTube.
Wow.
She's just amazing.
And very talented. She was great on
that. Yes.
The Voice.
And Chrissy's daughter, Deanna, did do a Christmas tour with us. And let me tell you, it was chills, because it was my little sister all over again, except she's taller than me. She's 5'8". Chrissy was 4'10".
I was just about to say, is that not hard?
Oh my God, I look like Sonny and Cher, you know? Or Danny DeVito and Cher.
Nice.
But Deanna's voice is beyond...
It's gorgeous. I mean, when she was a little girl, it was gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
But Deanna's got a great job in Washington, D.C., working for the government. I mean, politicians. And she just couldn't do it. Lisa couldn't do it. So I reached out. Originally, I reached out to a girl in Buffalo, New York, another girl, 28 years old. I heard her when she was 17. And I said, remember when I heard you? She goes, yes. Are you still singing? She goes, yes. What are you doing tonight? Now, we had Caitlin Cook, who was working, was on the X Factor.
Mm-hmm.
She was top 30.
Yeah.
She's from Buffalo, too. So I called her. She wasn't doing anything. I said, you want to tour with us? Yes. She did like 2 months of touring. The night we're at the Seneca Niagara Casino. Wayne played there.
Yep.
1,500, 1,800 people. She calls me at 2 in the afternoon and goes, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight.
Oh, my God.
That's exactly what I did. I go, what? I go, come on. Where are you? She goes, no, my band got a gig downtown Buffalo, and I can't stiff them. I go, you're kidding me. This is show business.
Again,
are you stuttering?
Where is the discipline? Where is the commitment? Where is the loyalty, people?
Unbelievable. So I called this young girl, Ashley Amoya, and she filled in that night. I said, you got to learn the material in 3 hours. I'll do it. How many outfits? Bring five. She came down, wrote all the words. They were all over the stage. She kicked butt. She's been with us till now. In fact, she's with us this next week and the week after because Janine, unfortunately, couldn't get out of a gig in Fiji somewhere. Yeah. So this young girl's done very well.
Wow.
But unfortunately, she won't be with us in Vegas. It's going to be Janine because, you know, we needed somebody that was seasoned in the
industry.
Sure,
absolutely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this, Frankie. You do a lot of performing in informal environments on your own. I've seen you at the Sterling Club, at the Turnberry Place a lot, and at the Bootlegger also.
I loved that place.
You kill every
Thank
time.
You, man.
Now, I have to ask, it's a obvious question. Would you ever consider being on your own outside the context of the Family Act, and what would that be like for you?
I actually am doing some concerts on my own.
They're
titled Frankie Shinseth and His Orchestra, full orchestra, and 15-piece, strings, the whole thing. And I'm doing my second show because I just started doing this. I'll tell you what, I love working with my brother. I mean, if it wasn't for my brother.
Is Joe going to come tackle you or something?
No, I pay him on the side. I take Pete and my musical director with me because Pete's my drummer, and you don't want any other drummer.
Yeah.
And I've written some different material, and it's my show. Here's the thing. Joe likes the business. Chrissy loved it. I live for the business.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm going to do this till I drop dead. And, you know, Joe may not want to do it forever. So I am positioned. I have to position myself. Not that Joe's going anywhere because he's my partner. You know, he's my Jerry. I'm Dean, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm ready because I want to die doing this. That's how much I love doing this.
Do you have a date or a place that you're going to do
this? June 1st. It's a place called Art Park in Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
It's one of the biggest. They bring in everybody, Rascal Flatts, and it's their 40th anniversary. They called me.
Oh, that's great.
And they said, we would like somebody that's native of Western New York. Would you do it? And I said, yeah. And for what they offered me, which is a lot of money, we couldn't do it with the Shintas. They're just, you know, you got to pay your brother.
People, yeah. Joe's expensive.
You know, that's why Clint Holmes works alone.
Yeah.
You know,
he doesn't have
to pay. But
ask Gail about that.
Yeah, that's right. Sure. Yeah, I know. Gail, I don't blame you for hating him. I don't like him. No, I love Clint. So I said, you know what? They go, what about you? And I thought, I go, okay, I'll do it. So I called my orchestra that I used before, and man, I got a show written, and I really am. I'm glad you asked that, because it's really it's a good feeling sometimes to just get up there and sing and perform, and I love doing it.
You are great at it, and if people that want to see you can go to the D, how many, five nights a week?
What are your dark nights?
Monday, Tuesday.
Every night but Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah. Monday, Tuesday's their dark night. We're in and out of Vegas right now because we did have some contracts to fulfill.
Other commitments. Okay.
Right. And the guys we work for, you don't cancel on. Yeah. So,
and I'm going to kiss the ring. What time's the show?
9 o'clock every night.
Great.
Nine nightly. Catch them. It's old school Vegas.
Fantastic
and
show.
The best you can get in this city. Thanks a lot, Frankie Shinseth. We'll have you on again.
Thank you, guys.